Democracy, please. Yeah, sure, it sounds great now, but in a couple hundred years, it'll just be another name for capitalism. Your democracy will just be a bunch of money-hungry corporations dictating everything from what you eat to the clothes on your back. Your freedom will be shown for what it really is, a farce.
She said farce.
Actually, she's got a point.
Welcome to Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast covering many, many years of Cartoon Network's history.
I'm Funky. I'm Fresh.
Hi, the Powerpuff Girls.
Hi. Not now, boy. I'm busy. Tonight's the third night.
Ba 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 ba.
Happy 4th of July, Tuneheads. It's your flag-waving friend and host, B-Dubs. And this is Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast dedicated to all things animation from the 1990s and early 2000s. Today, we're celebrating one of the most patriotic holidays around in the grand old U.S. of A. And while an episode of Justice Friends would be equally fitting, I felt the need to veer into 2000s Cartoon Network for a change to get a time-traveling take on what it is like to experience the American Revolution of 1776. Luckily, we have our guides, Otto, Larry, and Todd Russell, to navigate us into the history of what really happened when our nation's birth was solidified with the symbol of our country. All right, let's set our coordinates for the war and dive in. Don't forget your powdered wig to blend in too. So the episode info for Betsy Ross Flies Her Freak Flag is as follows. The episode info is Season 1, Episode 9B, also referred to as Mission GX-84 on the show's opening credits. And the air date is September 28th, 2001, just a few short weeks after the 9/11 attacks. Oddly fitting. It was written by Michael Carno, Dave Wasson, and Carlos Ramos. And the storyboard was by Alex Almaguer and directed by Dave Wasson. So here's how the episode went down. The episode begins at a piano concert where Beethoven is performing at. Time Squad zaps onto stage to make sure the concert pianist isn't violating his probation. Apparently, they've run into each other before. Beethoven swears he's acting in accordance with his timeline, but Todd Russell isn't so sure. He accuses the classical music icon of secretly wearing a wrestler's outfit, but after ripping his sleeves off, he reveals Beethoven's bare biceps instead.
Routine spot check, Mr. Beethoven.
Yeah, making sure you're not violating your probation.
And you're staying historically accurate.
Beethoven has not wrestled since your last visit. Scouts on the...
Oh, really? Then what's with the wrestling tights under your tuxedo?
The crowd gasps as the musician's rage boils due to his cummerbund being ruined, and the Time Squad trio quickly zaps out of the concert hall to avoid being pulverized. In the next scene, we see two crass dudes welcome the Time Squad on a Boston dock, one of them presumed to be John Hancock. The two inform the Time Squad they got, quote, a wicked coffee hat while messing with the British.
That's right. Just checking up on you guys.
We've been drinking coffee and partying our butts off! Get a load of this wicked coffee hat!
Wicked A!
Todd Russell reminds them not to have a foo-foo tea party, just as Larry gets an anomaly reading that Betsy Ross needs attention. The two dock bros shred their air guitars, then bonk heads in excitement. Meanwhile, out on the battlefield, George Washington approaches the Time Squad and informs them his troops not only abandoned him, but they also engaged in rather hippie-like activities over fighting the revolution.
This is George Washington's Revolutionary War headquarters. Wonder what went on here.
Looks like a tornado's touchdown.
I wish it was a tornado.
Otto is giddy with delight when he gets to meet the first president, but he comes to his senses realizing democracy and the founding of America itself is on the line if they don't whip these hippies into line. Otto, Larry, and Todd Russell approach one of the soldiers who has bloodshot eyes. He introduces his merry band as the Far Out Magical Psychotopia Farm Place Farm, quote-unquote. Soldiers everywhere are smelling the flowers, singing kumbaya around a campfire, face-painting butterflies, and tie-dyeing t-shirts in barrels.
Hey, Far Out, man! More disciples have arrived! Welcome to the Far Out Magical Psychotopia Farm Place. Farm.
Otto asks where Betsy Ross is, but the stone soldier mentions, quote, Moonbeam is the one responsible for turning everyone on to an alternate reality. The soldier shows the Time Squad boys one nasty homemade soap lump, and the three approach Betsy Ross, who's handing out tie-dye wavy pattern ponchos to the troops.
That's Betsy Ross?
Yikes.
This fabric is freaking me out, man!
It's cosmic!
Know what's really cosmic, Ms. Ross? Fighting the British!
Otto interjects, claiming it's more cosmic to fight the British. But Ross quickly labels the kid as a fascist. She counters that the fight for democracy is not meant to be fought for the man or the establishment in the name of unnecessary violence, and instead hands the boys some ponchos while showing them around her commune. Todd Russell gets into a shouting match over how awful the laid-back interpretive version of Yankee Doodle is and punches the stone soldier clear off the screen. All the while, Betsy Ross proclaims how the farm is a utopia of sharing, caring, and peace.
It stinks.
Oh, it's trippy. Stinks. It's trippy.
The Fallout stinks. Magical Psychotopia Farm Place Farm stinks. Is a place of harmony. Trippy. There's stinks. No anger, trippy. No hatred.
Stinks!
No rich, no poor. Everyone shares everything.
Ew. Including germs, apparently.
Larry shudders at the sight of two girls sharing a toothbrush, while Otto doubles down to convince Betsy Ross to get everyone back to their muskets and cannons to fight a necessary war in the name of democracy. Betsy questions the validity of the American Revolution and how democracy will devolve into the state it is now, thanks to runaway capitalism. How appropriate for 2025. Defeated, Otto retreats back to General Washington to deliver the bad news.
Sorry we let history down.
Well, perhaps America was meant to be a land of tie-dye, long hair, and groovy music under British rule.
Oh no, they're here!
Well, at least they're punctual.
On the horizon, the British arrive guns a-blazing, ready to conquer America. Washington rejects Todd Russell's offer of Ross's special brownies and instead runs towards the battlefield, proclaiming he'll have to fight them himself if no one else will unite for freedom. Meanwhile, all the stone soldiers are just shooting the sky while ingesting John Hancock's caffeine cups. It's wild. Betty pleads with Washington and Otto that her violent disruption of her commune needs to be stopped. Otto mentions how they have freedom of choice, which is why they're causing a ruckus. Washington proposes he can rally the troops together if he had some sort of symbol that men can get behind, quote unquote. One characterized by, I don't know, stars and stripes.
Something like this, maybe?
Oh, baby, now that's something I can pledge allegiance to.
That flag rocks! Yo-yo, Washington, headbutt!
Betsy Ross happens to have what he's looking for, an American flag she made herself. And to be honest, I'm quite surprised it didn't get tie-dyed in that barrel already. Hancock headbutts Washington while Soldier offers Betsy Ross a cup of joe. Looks like the Time Squad's work here is finished. At least completed meeting satisfactory expectations. I think the rest will play out more or less what we intend. Larry grumbles as the Time Warp trio zaps out of the American Revolution and we cut the black.
I think our work here is done.
And none too soon.
Sheesh. And that is the end of the episode. So here's some time traveling trivia you may or may not have picked up on while we were watching the episode. In case you're wondering about the whole Beethoven wearing a wrestling suit underneath his outfit thing in the beginning, that's actually in reference to another Time Squad episode entitled Ludwig van Bonecrusher that aired just 3 episodes before this one. It's a fun little callback for fans of the show, and I encourage you to go watch it too after this. Betsy Ross is also the first female historical figure of an episode in this series, only to be followed by Josephine Bonaparte, Napoleon's first wife. In addition, You may have noticed this, but the soldier who wears a white bandana and offers Betsy Ross coffee is named Starbuck, after the ubiquitous coffee company, Starbucks. And lastly, the flag design Betsy Ross is known for would resemble the 13 colonies settled at the time of the American Revolution in 1776, before adapting to the 50 stars version per executive order of President Eisenhower in August 21st, 1959, and was later put into effect with physical replacements of the flag on July 4th, 1960. Perhaps that's why this episode actually has a psychedelic 60s tie-in. Makes you wonder. So what am I going to give it for a tune rating this time around? This one was interesting enough, but it didn't leave much of an impression on me after I watched it, even back as a kid and again for this episode. Knowing that my background of American Revolution history is a lot more vivid and detailed than what they were able to portray here kind of undersells the idea of what the revolution looks like when they just showed the characters talking about it rather than actually fighting in it. I would have loved to see a lot more action, but I guess this counterculture approach to what America would be like if there was no war and people just did the whole peace, love, and understanding thing, like, you know, the culture that was promoted in the 60s to counter the 50s happens. I don't think it was interesting, but I can see the point of view of how different it affects everything, events in history. So Betsy Ross' character is fine. She was a little bit annoying with her hippie attitude, but I guess that's what they were going for, as are the soldiers. It just seemed like the episode was focused on like having a good time and not taking war seriously. And it kind of makes you think, well, maybe war isn't necessary. It needs to end to fight for freedom rather than just letting everything be, because not everything typically works out in a utopia if you just let it be. I think there needs to be a natural balance between understanding and not just be in all conflict or all peace all the time. So considering the historical ramifications, in addition to the political ones tied to this episode, I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10 tunes, which seems appropriate. It's pretty middle of the road and 7.5 because of 4th of July, or it should be 7.4 tunes unofficially. So what are my memories watching Betsy Ross fly her freak flag? Say that 10 times fast. Honestly, very little. Other than Betsy Ross removing her flag from what I thought initially was a honey barrel. I'd often watch Time Squad late at night in middle school whenever I couldn't sleep. And it was a delight to see how they would give like an interesting reinterpretation of all these figures that I would just learn through dry history facts and big thick textbooks, to get a better idea of who they could be instead of what they turned out to be in American history. I think the tie-dye ponchos and how bizarre Betsy Ross looked as a hippie stood out to me more than anything else. But besides that, I honestly don't recall any impressions that I had when this first aired when I was in middle school. Probably because I was too tired to notice. I think the episode now is pretty fun to visit and more relevant than ever, but we'll get to that in a moment. So why does Time Squad matter in 2025? Well, taking a page from Peabody and Sherman while blending it with tones of Back to the Future makes the viewer aware of what exactly can go wrong when humans deviate from their destined paths in life. They do their best to make sure there aren't any continuity errors or whatever situation they leap into across human history, the three of them. And while some situations are stickier than others, they repeatedly prove that a little bit of compassion can go a long way in mending broken bridges and setting the story straight, too. In terms of why this specific episode matters on this particular holiday, well, I think you can put two and two together with what's going on with the state of North America. Betsy Ross's worst fears have sadly come true in our reality. Except this time, we don't have a Time Squad or even a DeLorean to undo the careless carnage that's rampaging across our land. Whether you believe it or not, freedom isn't free, nor is it a given. Like Otto stated early in this episode, democracy is worth fighting for, and it's ultimately up to us, the people, the citizens of the United States, to band together with a common purpose again and again and again at every challenge that comes our way. in order to create a brighter future where we are all united. If not, well, I can't say it's going to get any better than what it is now. And perhaps we might adopt one of Honest Abe's slogans as our new nation mantra. United we stand, divided we fall. It's only when we let true freedom ring in our hearts and in our fists with prides that we can enjoy democracy as fully intended. So with those patriotic thoughts in mind, here's our closing for today. What would you do if you time travel back to the Revolutionary War period of American history? Would you join in on the fight with George Washington and all the other soldiers, or would you just stand back and watch it unfold as a spectator? If you'd like to share your thoughts, answers, remarks on the episode or the closing question, you can email me at checkeredchildhood@gmail.com. You could also share your questions over on YouTube or Spotify in the comments section. And don't forget to rate and review this podcast over on Apple or Spotify, or really anywhere else you listen to this on a podcast platform, mainly because your input and you sharing this with everyone else will help me be found amongst the millions of podcasts currently out there. And I try to do my best to deliver quality research content so that you can not only enjoy the nostalgia of Classic Cartoon Network, but also be informed in some things that you might have missed during your childhood. All right, tune in next time, Tuneheads, when we channel our rage and frustration from this episode with a little outward profanity when we examine a few notable banned episodes from Cartoon Network's checkered past. Just which ones will we vent about most and why? You'll just have to plug your ears and skip over the episode if it honestly offends you. Otherwise, if you think you can handle the heat, tune in next time to find out. As always, I thank you, Tuneheads, for tuning into our show today to show your support. I genuinely appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to indulge in a little nostalgia history with me. And hopefully, like best friends, we can have some fun and do more enlightening topics together soon. In the meantime, I think I'm going to commission Betsy Ross to make a new flag for a country of my own I have in mind. One that's dedicated to cartoon lovers. The only question is, what should the flag have on it? Hey Betsy, do you have any ideas? See you next time, Tuneheads, and have a tunerific day. Later.
Whoa, great tie-dye, man! Those colors are like freaking me out!